I would say if the authorities didn't want us involved in the public square, they ought not to have crucified Jesus in the public square.
Use humanistic principles.
Well, I would say, I would say, what's the problem with stardust bumping into stardust?
In the cosmic picture, no, there's no problem. In the cosmic picture, it won't matter.
No, Mr. President, you are not protecting reproductive freedom. You are authorizing the destruction of freedom for 1 million little human beings every year.
I'm sorry, my friends, but I am tired of seeing Jesus presented as a weak beggar. He is a powerful Savior, and the gospel is not a suggestion, it is a command.
Reverend Mola, don't you sympathize with that?
I sympathize with every single human heart wishing to know the one true and living God, but I believe there's only one way that can happen, through Jesus Christ, and the gospel is about repenting of sin, not celebrating it.
Adventure. We will explore the spiritual abyss. You have not experienced this before. You're gonna love it.
What's up, y'all? You're listening to The Gospel Heard Around the World, Apologia Radio. Get us at apologiaradio.com. What's happening? What's up, y'all?
Yo, yo, yo.
Welcome back. Hey, I want to say thank you, an official thank you, to all of you who have committed to being a co-laborer with this movement, Apologia Radio, getting the gospel into the culture and across the world, getting the biblical worldview in the face of the culture and rubbing its face against the gravel and licking the back of its neck and...
I'm taking no part of that.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody who has donated by way of giving. We want to thank you guys all so very, very much for your donations. And we still have a long way to go, but we just want to tell you how grateful we are to all of you who have sacrificed. And we know that when you give worshipfully to the Lord, but you have blessed this ministry. And again, we have a little ways to go. We're trying to gather together a remnant of God's people that will support this ministry to get the gospel into the culture. And so we're trying to get about 100 people at $50 a month donation. I think we're about, we probably have about 95 more to go. We're thankful. And there are others who have just given graciously to the ministry. So I want to thank you guys so much. You can do that by way of going to apologiaradio.com. Go to the homepage. There's a donate tab. You can donate there. And you can also hit Luke up with emails at luke@defendthefaith.org. That's luke@defendthefaith.org. And he just loves to receive emails from you guys just random emails throughout the day. Just ask him how he's doing. How's his beard doing?
What's his favorite color?
Has he combed it today? Is there any bacon in it? Those kinds of questions he loves. And so we're
going to be yes and yes.
Should we get like a 24-hour live webcam of Luke's beard? Like,
that would be awesome.
Start doing that.
It's just attached to his shirt, and it just follows the beard all day.
Maybe you can put it in my beard.
It's just the edges of the beard. Oh, in the beard. So you see like
life from my beard.
It's a point of view from your beard, and so everyone gets to see what it's like to be on Luke's face all day. You know what? We're going to talk about a couple things today on the show, Apologia Radio, before I introduce our other hosts. But I want to tell you sort of the thematic quote of the day will be something like this.
This will not stand, you know? This aggression will not stand, man.
Yes, this aggression will not stand. And we're going to talk a little bit today about gun control, the gun control debate from a biblical perspective, and bringing them back from the dead. Actually, he's with the Lord now. Is one of my heroes, Dr. Greg Bahnsen. So we'll be doing this debate, listening into, if you didn't know, Greg Bahnsen did a debate on the Second Amendment from a biblical perspective. So we're going to be kind of wading our way through that, looking at and listening in to the argument. But I want to introduce our other hosts, because they're wonderful. So I'm Jeff Durbin. I'm one of the hosts here, pastor at Apologia Church. And we also have the man with the wonderful flowing beard, a delicious beard.
Delicious.
Luke Pearson.
I thought for a second we were actually bringing Dr. Bahnsen back from the dead. I got really excited.
Did you? Oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
No, I'm disappointed.
He's needed today.
Well, listen, I wanted to play this clip I found. I didn't realize it was on YouTube, and it, you know, we're always talking about how we get ready for the shows.
Uh-huh.
So I found a clip of us preparing right before we go on air.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to play it real quick.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, here we go.
Excited.
All right, gang, it's almost 6. Let's do what we're paid to do. Da-da-da. Unique New York. Unique New York. A tarantula enjoys a fine chewing gum. Chewing gum. Snoopy was stabbed by...
That's Joy.
The human torch is denied a bank loan. The arsonist has oddly shaped feet. The arsonist. Cue it. Ready, Phil.
That was Chris.
That's Luke.
We're on in 5, 4.
There you go.
Yeah, I didn't know that was up. I don't know. Maybe Jeremy or Chris put that up. But
yeah,
that was
a secret
cool.
Recording under the table.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's actually live from Luke's beard cam.
Luke's beard cam. Well, Luke Pearson, what's up, dude?
Not much.
Welcome to the show today.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. So Luke is a feller elder at Apologia Church in Tempe, Arizona. We are east of Guadalupe and rural. You know what's interesting is we have had people visit us.
Yeah.
But did you know this, Joy?
Uh-uh.
People have been coming to the church listening to the radio program.
Oh.
How cool is
nice.
That? Yeah, it's
there
interesting. I think last weekend we had 2 people from the radio program just listening in locally.
And those people that like us.
Yeah, they actually like us. Yeah. We do have a few people that dislike us.
Uh-huh.
And so you can actually visit us for worship and the word, fellowship. And you can do that 5:30 Sunday evening east of Guadalupe in rural. We meet at Mick Gethsemane. Just
yeah.
Kidding. Not really. Gethsemane Lutheran Church in Tempe, Arizona. You can join with us for worship. And we'd love to have you come with us. But also we have on the show our wonderful and amazing other co-host of Apologia Radio. That's Joy Timby.
Hi, guys.
What's up? No clip for Joy today.
Sorry, nope. I didn't have my sound cue ready because I was playing the other clip.
Right on.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk. Last week, we did a 2-hour show on Alcoholics Anonymous as a program in contrast to what the Bible has to say about drug and alcohol addiction. So that's what we did. And we just approached it from a biblical perspective, using the Word of God as a foundation and looking into the system. And so we put it up. And obviously, we know that when we do an issue where we're using the Word of God in contrast to something the culture brings to us, we know that we're going to have people that are going to resist. Jesus says to us, and Joy has masterfully brought this up, woe to you when all people speak well of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not anticipating that everyone's going to like everything we have to say, but we have to be faithful to God. We're not seeking to please men, but God. If we were still seeking to please men, we would not be servants of Christ. And so that's our perspective. But so we put this show up, and what's interesting is that we didn't get any actual comments at first on the show we had put up, but we did have somebody hit us up on our Apologia Church page, which is odd because this is Apologia Radio. Obviously, the ministry of Apologia Church, but you can go right over to the Apologia Radio page and you can argue all you want. But they went to the Apologia Church page and they had heard it on the radio
right. In
Arizona. And this is what they said. Caught you on the radio today. Couldn't take notes. Probably your first problem. But there is what I remember. You were lying through your teeth about AA. I'm a recovered alcoholic who got saved at an AA table. There are no 12 commandments, only 12 steps. And they are recommended, not required. There is no Bible. The big book is just literature written by Bill W. and others. And it says it's very jarbled, guys. No, there's no commas and periods where they need to go, so it's kind of difficult to read. The big book is just literature written by Bill W. and others. Bill W. is not a priest, just a guy who wrote a book in the hopes of helping others, and meetings are not required. Lie, lie, lie. I could talk about Chinese arithmetic, but I don't know anything about it. Contempt before investigation stops any real discussion. You should at least read the first 164 pages of the Big Book before you start displaying your ignorance for all to see. And yes, alcoholism starts out as a sin. I have no problem with that. Trying to fill that God-shaped void in your heart with something other than Jesus, I'm thinking is idolatry, also manifested as gluttony, drunkenness. Oh, by the way, I'm going to continue to call it alcoholism only because I have no money to waste on becoming a card-carrying member, dues-paying member of the Flat Earth Society. Oh, yeah, I have no desire to recover my past life. I did, however, want to recover my sanity. That is, the ability to think through the consequences of taking that first drink. More lies on your part. Oh, but I digress. Anyways, over the years of being a Christian, I've heard this drivel you're pushing lots of times. All I've been able to come up with is your defense is that your God is really smart or small, or you have him in a box, and for him to be real, he has to adhere to your theology. God/Jesus is the one who paid the price, and he said, I will have mercy in whom I will have mercy. If he wants to open a back door into the kingdom, that's his business. Oh, gosh. He loves to confound the wise, you, by using the lowly, them poor, dumb alcoholics. The Bible does teach that man ever sought God in vain. Does that sound familiar? The 11th step prayer, praying only for God's will and the power to carry that out, but you did a new twist on it by recommending euthanasia. But you did a new twist on it by recommending euthanasia. My neighbor had a heart. That's interesting. My neighbor had a heart problem. And let's see here. But according to you, he does not have a medical condition or disease. Why are you splitting these hairs? You would have just let him die because he doesn't have a medical condition. One of the guys I see at AA, his earliest remembrances of his grandfather are going to a mental hospital to visit him. He stayed in there for 17 years because he had water on the brain due to alcoholism. Of course, he did not have a disease/medical condition. They later moved him to a nursing home where he died. The man never knew who his grandson was. It's a lot of his thoughts just randomly strewn into a comment box on Facebook, but I want to answer this. What's interesting is I want everyone to know his name is Ralph, and he did it on our Apologia page. We offered him the opportunity to come onto the radio show today to do a discussion with us. He didn't respond back in any way, but he did proceed to give even more comments and comment boxes, and then he went over after he was banned from Apologia Church's page because he would not stop posting comments without accepting the invitation to be on the radio program. He went over to Apologia Radio and put more comments, and then he was banned ultimately again. It's so easy. People don't understand. It's click, 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 and you're gone. Click, and you're gone.
Yep.
Click, and you're gone. So we're going to talk about this email as we come back after this first break right here on Apologia Radio. We're going to answer Ralph on the air since he didn't have the nerve to join us on the air via phone call. We're going to have to deal with these comments without him. So, Ralph, if you're listening, we care for you. But we're about to dissect the email you gave to us. So we'll be right back. ApologiaRadio.com. Hit us up.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Beneath the rising full moon, I became a mindless, rampaging werewolf. Suddenly, he hears the harsh, guttural growling of the werewolf. It attacks.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, at first I was like, what is this? Some old school like werewolf film or something like that.
The werewolf.
Yeah, dubstep. This is Apologia Radio. Jeff Durbin, your host, with Luke Pearson and Joy Temby. Getting at you from Phoenix, Arizona, with the gospel heard around the world. You can like us on Facebook by going to Apologia Radio on Facebook or go to ApologiaRadio.com. Again, join with us in this movement as we get the gospel into the culture. Luke, you wanted to start us off on this segment, right?
Yeah, I did. Actually, since we were talking about my beard earlier,
okay,
my beard actually had something very important it wanted to say.
This is going to be good. Okay. He's just rubbing.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
That's the sound of my beard.
Yeah. Everyone, just so you know, he's literally just rubbing his beard up against the microphone. Well, wonderful. That's actually the first time your beard has joined us.
Yeah, and a little cameo.
Yeah, a little cameo appearance from Luke's beard.
Yep.
Was that it?
That was it.
Okay, so let's go back into the discussion in relation. So we're very serious, obviously, on this program. Uh-huh. This is Ralph, our response to your email, since you wouldn't join with us on the radio program, which you're still welcome to join with us on the radio program via phone call at some point in the future. But what he said here is when he caught us on the radio, he says he couldn't take notes. That's probably part of the problem, Ralph, because a lot of what you said here is a misrepresentation of what we actually said. He said you were lying through your teeth about AA, and you told me that I should read the big book. Well, sir, Ralph, I spent 4 years full-time as the lead pastor at a recovery facility, a hospital that had as its basis program the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I worked for 4 years full time. That's 40 hours plus a week at a facility that does AA. I was in the culture a lot. And so if you've been in AA for many, many years, I assure you I have a lot more time in this than you do. I'm talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours in this field. And so I do know AA and I do know the worldview. And so you said you're a recovered alcoholic and who got saved in an AA table. Well, what's interesting here is that I assure everybody listening to the program that AA, the 12 Steps, I challenge you. Go ahead, try it. I want you to get a copy of the 12 Steps, and I want you to find for me in the 12 Steps the mention of Jesus, the mention of sin, the mention of the cross, the mention of the resurrection, the mention of repentance and faith in Him for forgiveness and salvation. That's all I would ask you to do. I want you to get the 12 Steps, and I want you to read through there, and I want you to find for me any of those concepts. Christ as Lord, died for sins, rose from the dead, repentance and faith. And if you say, well, it's not in there, well, then guess what? You didn't get saved because of AA. You were saved, as I said last week, despite AA. If you heard the gospel communicated to you, you heard it outside of the context of AA. In other words, there is no mention of Christ or repentance or faith or sin or salvation and forgiveness in the 12 Steps. And if you disagree with that, I would ask you to show me where the 12 Steps talk about sin, salvation, Christ, death, resurrection, any of that. And if you say, well, it's not intended for that, then you are now acknowledging my point that 12 Steps themselves are not a gospel-centered approach to healing. And if you say, well, they're about getting sober, then I would once again show you that you are operating outside of a biblical framework. Because if you talk about sobriety as the goal, then you are missing the gospel. Sobriety, a lack of sobriety, is a result of a fallen condition. The Bible teaches that very clearly throughout. It talks about Romans 1 that we all know God. We suppress the truth of God, and we exchange God for idols. Galatians refers to the fruit of the works of the flesh as drunkenness. And so one of the displays of fallenness is drunkenness and sorcery, which is pharmakia, which is engaging in a pursuit of a substance to get into an altered state of consciousness and using it as a pagan, as an act of worship in a sense. And so what we see in the Bible is that addiction is the result of a fallen condition. And so, Ralph, I would humbly suggest to you that the first thing someone needs is to be saved and then their sanctification via the Holy Spirit of God and a new life and new creation. And so, you guys want to jump in on anything I said there with that?
Well, I was just going to say that it would be different if AA was presented as just like a tool to help people get sober as a part of their sanctification, to be healthy or whatever. But when you approach someone, it's not just a tool. It is really sort of a worldview, a lifestyle.
Yes. Yes.
I haven't been super involved in AA, but I have definitely had people involved in AA around me mm-hmm. quite a bit. And mm-hmm. I have heard people say to them that if they choose to go to church, they're not going to stay sober.
That's right.
If they choose anything over AA, mm-hmm. They just kind of give you this look like, oh, good luck with that. You'll be back at it again soon.
Yes. Yes. And what's important here is this. Ralph says in his email, and he said something somewhere else, but I don't have that email because he was bounced before I can save it. It says there are no 12 commandments, only 12 steps, and they're recommended, not required. Let me just suggest to you, Ralph, that you take a walk over to one of these recovery centers that works the AA program and ask them about something called 90 and 90. And what's that mean? It's required of you as you leave treatment to do 90 meetings in 90 days. And this is oftentimes on top of intensive outpatient treatment. So you'll be doing IOP, which is for several hours a day, and also on top of the several hours a day at intensive outpatient centered around the 12-step program, you will also be going to 90 and 90. What is that? 90 required meetings in 90 days. And if you say, well, it's not required, you want to go, the point is the system itself says that you have to do this to be sober or you will not be sober. You have to work the program. I sat in clinical staff meetings for years with doctors and nurses and therapists who repeatedly gave the refrain, it's because they're not working the program. And what's the program? The 12 steps of AA. And I can tell you right now, it is simply dishonest if you suggest that in the AA context, people are not telling you, you must go to your meetings. It's not honest because they do, in fact, teach that. I've been in this culture. I know this culture. And so your parallel to a Chinese arithmetic and me lying, not knowing anything about it and not investigating, you should at least read this 164 pages of the big book before you start displaying your ignorance. Well, thankfully, by God's grace, I've been involved in this culture and in this industry for many years and hundreds of hours in it. We're talking literally thousands of counseling sessions I think I've probably done at this point around this issue and all in a context of AA around me. And so I know this. You do confess something, though, Ralph. You said that alcoholism starts as sin. And that is trying to shape the God-filled void in your heart, and it is idolatry.
Yes.
Thank you. Ralph, thank you. Because that's what our show is about. And so that is the fundamental part of what we were getting at. This is idolatry. It is sin. And so when you talked about us saying that it was not a medical condition in some sense, I would say that you didn't listen.
Right.
Because we have mentioned numerous times that there is a toxicity element involved in the alcoholism or the drug addiction that leads to the necessity of detox. I know this. I worked in a hospital and watched people kicking and detoxing and having seizures, falling on the floor. Many, many times. I know the worldview. I know detox is necessary, but that is secondary to the main issue, which is sin that brought us to that point. We'll be right back right here on Apologia Radio, apologiaradio.com.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
What's up, y'all? ApologiaRadio.com. Come get us. Check us out. Share some episodes with your brosifs, with your buddies, with your friends, with your family. Join the movement. Get a biblical worldview into the culture. Talking about current issues, dealing with the issue of drug and alcohol addiction. Last week, we did a gospel-centered approach to drug and alcohol addiction in contrast to the popular Alcoholics Anonymous program, which has its spinoffs, NA, HA, and all of that. So I wanted to address the 12 steps. If you haven't heard them, can I suggest a few things? Listen to them for a moment. First step, we've admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Now, I have to suggest to us as Christians, when we hear about our lives becoming unmanageable, it's skirting the issue of alcoholism, as it's often called. When we talk about powerless over alcohol, we're missing the issue of sin. We're powerless and slaves to sin, and our lives becoming unmanageable. Now, watch the second step. It says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Yes, you heard that right. A power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. If you say, well, what does that mean, a power greater than ourselves? Is that Jesus? Not in the AA context. You can worship any old gods you please. And if you went to a standard Alcoholics Anonymous meeting anywhere and you sit in that program, know this, that you can say, I worship my shoelace. I worship electricity. I worship the group. I worship others. I worship the doorknob. You can have any old god that you please as long as it's a power greater than yourself that you submit to. Also, sanity? To restore us to sanity? Is that the problem? We don't have the sanity? And what do you say? Well, what do you mean by sanity? Like you're crazy? No, they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over every day expecting a different result. So that's it. That's the thing. We want to, and if you say, what does it mean that I'm engaging in insanity? They'll say, well, it's doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. So I need some power greater than myself to restore me to the ability to stop doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Can I ask you a question? Where's the gospel anywhere in there?
Right.
Where is sin? Where is salvation? Where is forgiveness? Where is Christ? Where is repentance? Where's the resurrection power of Jesus? It's nowhere. How about this? Third step, made a decision to turn our will and lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Yes, AA would tell you, you can worship any old God that you please, and you must turn your life and will over. And I used to ask this question to people who are in the traditional track. In other words, without Jesus, without scripture. I used to say, well, who's God? They say, well, I don't know, I'm working on it. Well, have you turned your life and will over to this God that you don't know? Yes, I have. So what's he like? What's he say to you? What are his promises? What does he say about you or himself?
Well, ultimately, if you're choosing a worthy God, you're choosing yourself because it's a God that you've kind of decided that it has all the qualities you want or whatever. So it's really, it's you, like it's your brain. Yeah. So it's you.
Clearly, I'm doing really, really well in this world. If I'm addicted to drugs and alcohol, I'm doing really, really well. And I should be trusted with creating a God.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing so well. I mean, I'm doing so well.
I already had one.
Yeah.
Why am I getting rid of that one?
That's right. How about this one? Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I have a question. How do you do a searching and fearless moral inventory without Jesus? Because I'm going to suggest this to you. If you're an image bearer of God and you begin to finally admit to the sin that's in your life and the brokenness that's in your life, all you have is fear without Jesus.
Right.
If you don't have the propitiation and the death of Jesus in the place of you for your moral inventory, then all you have is fear before you. That's why the 12 steps without Jesus is false gospel. It says we've entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Mm. Oh, I just love the politicization of, like that, of sin. Defects of character?
Right.
Why can't we just say sin?
Right.
If this is truly a biblical program, then why don't we just say sin? Humbly asking him to remove our shortcomings. Shortcomings.
Again.
Why can't we just talk about what's really wrong? Also, notice the last step. 11, sorry. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. Gotta love it. Sought to, through prayer and meditation, to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. Any way you please. The 12th step, interesting, if you want to say I'm overblowing this, listen to the 12th step. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, a spiritual awakening through this program, where's the resurrection? Where's new life? We try to carry this message to alcoholics. What message? The 12-step gospel.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's Jesus say? Make disciples of all nations. It's about Jesus, not about some program. This is a gospel message of AA, although it's devoid of Jesus. We'll be right back.
Abhorrent Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, ApologiaRadio.com with Luke Pearson and Joy Tenby. ApologiaRadio.com, like us at Apologia Radio on Facebook. Join the movement. You can support this ministry by giving at the homepage of ApologiaRadio.com. So let's finish up the discussion. Last thing I want to say to Ralph, who heard the program we had where we were contrasting the gospel and the gospel-centered approach to drug and alcohol addiction with Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 steps. He said, this is really important, I guess the last thing we'll deal with today for him. He said about God, God said, I will have mercy on who I will have mercy. By the way, that's a completely different context, Romans 9. Right. But he says, if he wants to open a back door into the kingdom, that's his business. Ah, let's talk about this. Why would you need to suggest that God needs to open a back door into the kingdom? Why is that? Ralph, if 12 steps is gospel-centered, if it's biblical, why the suggestion about a back door?
Right.
Why is there a back door? Is AA not clear about the gospel? Is it not clear about Jesus? Is it not clear enough about sin so that there's a back door that God has opened up? Back door.
Well, and I just don't like that, this mentality. It's not just in this circumstance, but like I've seen it many times.
Yeah.
The mentality that God can do anything, so he will do anything. Mm-hmm. Mm. He doesn't do things outside of his character.
Ah, yes.
He doesn't say there's one way and then right. open a back door.
Yes.
He doesn't do that. If yes. he does, he's not God.
Amen.
And we're all wrong.
John 14, 6?
I don't like it. I don't like that whole idea that, like, well, he's God, so you don't really know what.
Preach it, Joy.
What he
Preach
wants
it.
To do.
Hallelujah. Preach it right now, girl. That's what I'm talking about. So, seriously, no, listen to what Joy just said. Now, take it with humility. Don't take this as a punch in the face. Take this as, what does Jesus say, brothers and sisters? He says, I am the way. Now, when you have a system that forces you to argue that God could open a back door where? Around Jesus? Some other way? And besides, you know, when you say door to me, and I think kingdom, Jesus, door, I'm like, I'm thinking of all these concepts like Jesus, where he says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Jesus had a discussion about an entrance as well. And he talked about a broad path that leads to destruction. Many find that one, and it leads in death, Jesus says. But there's this other gate that's small, and the road is narrow, and it leads to life. And Jesus says, few find that one. And so, Ralph, I have to say to you, brother, with humility and love and respect to you, because you claim to love the same Savior that I do, so I want to love you and I'm called to love you. I want to say to you, brother, I would ask you with humility to check your belief system and see if it's consistent with what the gospel teaches about Jesus. Don't be so, listen, we all need to stop being so stubborn in our belief system that we're unwilling to be corrected. I have to be willing to be corrected, and I have many times in my walk with Jesus been corrected by Scripture. And we all have to be teachable. And we all have to be teachable, which is something you're going to hear Greg Bonson say in a little bit as we talk about the gun debate. But Luke, you had something else that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, first, before I get to that, I was going to ask you, if I was to go to an AA meeting, would this be an appropriate response?
I love lamp.
Could you worship the lamp?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you could.
Okay.
And it's now, listen, I know people are going to hear this right now. And they're going to suggest that we're blowing it out of proportion. Guys, I am telling you with all honesty, I was in this for countless hours in the community. And I'm telling you right now, there are therapists with degrees on their wall for years of education that in the secular AA community will tell a person legitimately coming to them with a heroin addiction or drug and alcohol addiction that as long as you have a God of your understanding, you're good. If they said, well, can I worship the door or lamp? Can I love lamp? They would say, yes, as long as there's a power greater than yourselves and you're willing to submit to that and say you're powerless over alcohol. It is acceptable. It is the worldview. And don't say it's not. It is. And anybody who's been involved in a secular AA community knows this. And if you say, well, we have a Christian AA community. Let me ask you a question. How do you blend a system that is preaching a gospel that's contrary to Scripture with the gospel of Scripture? Here's how you do it. You have to open a back door. Ah, but there's only one way, and a small gate and a narrow path that leads to life.
Hmm.
Okay, Luke?
Okay, yeah. So since we're on the subject, there was another question in regards to the show on Facebook.
Okay.
From someone named Anna.
All right.
Only this was a much better, well-written question.
Okay.
And it was peaceful and not accusatory.
Okay.
So Anna had this question, and I think it's a fair question. She said, I go to Al-Anon meetings and find them very helpful. I never realized AA Al-Anon claims to be a Christian organization. I never heard that, and nothing I've read has given me that impression. It is an open spiritual program. It is an open spiritual program is what I always thought. I'm pretty sure that's even in the blue book, which I have read. I don't look to Al-Anon to save me. I appreciate the meetings because I learn a lot from others, and it keeps me in check as far as the unhealthy coping patterns, people who have been the unknown victims of the ravages of alcoholics learn. It was a year of Al-Anon meetings and seeking God that helped me to leave an abusive marriage. I just don't see how the whole system is evil for everyone. That's her question. But then she goes on to say in another comment, you are a blessing. Your zeal for the gospel is infectious. You have time to answer my question and greatly appreciate it.
And her name is
Anna.
Anna, thank you so very, very, very much, sister, for the question. Let me just suggest to you a really important thing here. And this, I would ask you to receive this with humility from me to you. When we talk about a program being an open spiritual program, I want to just encourage you as a sister in Christ. I want to encourage you with this. There is no such thing as spirituality, true spirituality, without the Holy Spirit of God. When we talk about spirituality, we're connecting that as a Christian to the view of God, who is spirit, and we must worship him, Jesus says, in spirit and in truth. And so when we talk about a spiritual program, there is just isn't any spirituality apart from the Holy Spirit of God. And the way to receive that blessing of his presence is only through the gospel. We're only going to be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus. And so I want to just say that when you talk about an open spiritual program, what we're oftentimes saying is that any belief is acceptable in that place. And I want to say that without Jesus, there is no true spirituality according to Scripture. And I want to just also suggest to you something, and this is really important. I hear in your email a struggle. I hear in your email some brokenness. I hear that in your email. And what I want to suggest to you is this, is that my suggestion to you as a pastor and as a brother in Christ is the most appropriate place for you to have engaged when you were going through this struggle with your husband in this difficult time. The most appropriate place that God would call you to engage is a community of believers and pastors. And what I'm going to say to you is the Bible is very clear on the directive that believers get under the care and authority of pastors. Because can I suggest something to you, Anna? And that is that when you go to the Al-Anon meetings, when people are not standing on the Word of God as their foundation, the advice they give to you is just mere pragmatism. In other words, it's what works for me. It's for my own subjective opinion and feelings. What you want to do, sweetie, is you want to go to the rock of God's Word. You want to go to what is very God-breathed. That is Theanoustos, 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says all Scripture is God-breathed. And so what you wanted to hear in this situation and in any struggle you have in your life is not just the words of mere men and women, but you want to hear the very words of your God. And when you go to a church under the care of a pastor, you could have a pastor leading you through and guiding you through the Scriptures as to what God would want you to do in this situation, not what just someone who doesn't know Christ or doesn't stand on the Word of God as their foundation would have you to do. And so my suggestion to you, sweetie, is that you would get hooked up with a solid, Bible-believing, healthy, well-balanced, biblical church where you can get under the care of a pastor and a community of believers who will love you for Jesus' sake and will point you to Christ. That is the biblical mandate. God tells us not to abandon the gathering of ourselves together. The Bible tells us to be under the care and authority of pastors and elders. It tells us to confess our sins to one another. And it also tells us, Anna, you need to hear this. It says to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so if you would get into a community of God's people, you would have them bearing your burdens, and particularly this struggle you've had, and they would have been able to point you to Christ. But listen, Anna, what I don't want you to get is a bunch of just practical advice from people who don't know Jesus.
Right.
Who are just going to give you suggestions and tips and coping skills. By the way, you said coping skills. Very, very important, Anna. Listen, to get free from addiction, you're going to need a lot more than someone giving you coping skills. You're going to need a new heart. You're going to need the words of God shaping and renewing your mind. And so I understand that going to a meeting, like for example, I used to listen to this lecture every once in a while. I would hear it going on. It was once a month. It was on rotation. And the person was teaching a lecture on anger. And the entire hour was about anger. And it was about instead of using, you should do these things. And what was suggested? Well, if you get angry, you should start punching your pillow.
Right.
If you get angry, you should take a cold shower. I mean, those are coping skills. But guess what? In the height of my anger and my outburst of wrath, the Bible would call it, I'm not thinking rationally and consistently to say I should really punch the pillow right now. Besides, let me say this to you. Is it okay to suggest to somebody that if they're angry and having an outburst of wrath, they should actually expose that and let it go
right,
and start physically getting violent with an object? Should I really do that? Is that really an
Well, and that's just a prescription for anger.
Exactly. Right.
That's not the cure
right.
for it. It's just that prescription for it to help it feel
right.
better,
yes.
medicate it.
Yes, absolutely. And but, it's band-aiding the problem, the symptom.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
So we just live the rest of our lives, no cure.
As angry people.
Just.
With holes in your walls.
Just the little medicine.
Right. Yeah, would it be appropriate? You're right, Luke. Would it be appropriate if I get angry? Why can't I punch a hole? Why does it have to be a pillow? Why can't it be a hole in the wall?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Does that change it in any way? I mean, isn't the point that if you get angry, hit something else besides a person in some sense, or just let the energy out? You see, a Christian approaches this in a very, very differently. We talk about it's more than coping skills. Obviously, Christians have godly advice and wisdom on how to live here. But we'd also say that anger is a condition of the heart. And so is an outburst of wrath. It's a deed of the flesh. And so what the Bible says is that a fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And so what as a Christian I want to do is not simply focus on the coping skills like punching a pillow, but I want to actually let God deal with my heart.
Yep.
And I want to let God deal with the anger, the unrighteous anger that's in my heart and the outburst of wrath. I need to learn to love God and love others so that I don't have the outburst of wrath. So that I don't have me as the idol. By the way, anger oftentimes is idolatry, is that I am the most significant thing that deserves glory and sacrifice at the moment, and you are stepping on this idol.
Mm.
And so I have the outburst against the person because self becomes the idol. Do you see
right.
the point?
Yep.
We deal with this biblically. The answers are very, very different as a Christian. So, Anna, I want to thank you so very, very much for the question. It was very, very helpful. And Pastor Luke, I know you have something else you wanted to go over with us. Before we go into our next segment, we're going to talk about gun control. Pastor Luke, what are our comments?
Yeah, we have another new comment on iTunes I thought I'd read real quick. And we are up to 19 five-star ratings.
Woo!
Mm-hmm.
Still no negative.
Wah, wah. Oh, it's okay.
I know Joy's disappointed. Well, she was really excited about the negative comment on
yes,
Facebook, though.
Yes, I was.
Anywho, so this is from A. Martinez 28, and it says, I just started listening to this podcast, and I really enjoy the show. This podcast is a nice take on biblical theology. These guys are funny. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Caring, Joy, and love to share truth. They do not water scripture, and they are not ashamed of the gospel. Thanks, guys, for your hard work putting this show together. Why, thank you, A. Martinez.
Yeah.
I got to have more cowbell.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah, that gets me all excited, I think. Wait a minute. We just got another one in, Luke.
Did we?
We got another comment in.
Oh, okay, cool. What's it?
Oh, this one's not so good. Oh.
You know what's funny? We have 1 minute left. Jeff was in this video game once, which was pretty yeah. cool, and it was him on the video game. But, like, his moves, when he would, like, do karate moves, he sounded like a teenage girl.
Yeah. It was called The Untouchable. You can order it online and get it on your PC. And you could play me. It's Mortal Kombat style, where, like, you know, you can play me as the character and fight the other characters. It's called The Untouchable. And my character's name was Paul Osuda. But here's somebody has a negative comment. I think it's for you, Luke.
What?
You don't have any friends.
Man, thanks.
We'll be right back. Next segment, ApologiaRadio.com. We're going to do the gun control debate and possibly a prank call to a Christian bookstore with moi as my punishment. We'll be right back.
Right back.
Make room for his love. Hope for your gun blaze. Making room for his love and a fire gun.
I give it something, you know, from the essence of my being, and I'm singing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I got Mashiach now.
Time and start revealing, what's this feeling, my love, with the skylight in the ceiling.
I give it something, you know, from the essence of my being, and I'm singing to my God. Songs of love and healing. Yo.
This is what it's like when you go with Luke and I on a road trip. We just have this song blasting, and we're just screaming this in the background. Hey, by the way, this is Modest Yahoo. And he says, I want Mashiach now. Because he's a Jew. And so he's saying, I want Mashiach now. So Luke and I always make sure we scream, I got Mashiach now! I got Mashiach.
Yo!
So welcome back to Apologia Radio. Coming at you from Phoenix, Arizona. You can like us on Facebook or go to ApologiaRadio.com. Check us out. Share those episodes, guys. And so here we go. We're going to go into this segment, and Joy and Luke are very, very serious. They're like, Jeff, you're going to wrap up this stuff because you're doing a prank call.
I wish there was some way that on radio I could show you the face that I'm giving.
Yes. There's some crazy
it's very
eyes.
Serious.
Very serious face that Joy's giving me right now. She's like, you will.
Very, very
so if you
serious.
Want to know what we're talking about, we did a couple episodes back, we did some prank calls to Christian bookstores where the deal is we would write questions that we had to ask the Christian bookstore, and the whole goal was is that no, you wrote questions for the next person, and that you couldn't see the questions until you actually called and were on the phone. And the deal was is you had to get through all questions without laughing or having the person hang up on you. And I lost royally.
Yeah.
I lost royally.
Majorly. Mm-hmm.
Joy got through every single one of the questions, which is ridiculous.
I sure did
she totally
that.
Cheated.
I totally
and
did
then
that.
Luke got through like seven or eight. I got through one, and it's because Luke cheated.
Oh!
It's because Luke cheated because he had a preemptive question to ask first. And the question was, so how come y'all don't keep the Holy Sabbath or whatever?
You know
that's
what?
How you said it. It's totally
all right,
cheating.
Well,
that's not
cheating. This time there are no preemptive questions.
Okay.
You know what?
So you
got
cannot
through that
accuse
one.
Of, us of
Sorry.
Cheating.
Okay.
At all.
It's going to happen.
But
it's
you
on.
Got through the oh, first but question he, fine.
Okay.
It was the second question you couldn't get through.
But mm-hmm. here's the challenge that Luke and Joy are saying. They're saying that I have to not only call a Christian bookstore and get through the questions, and they've written them together.
Yes.
And so supposedly these are like amazing, and I'm not going to be able to do it.
Collaboration. Stop,
not,
collaborate, and listen.
Not only do
Luke
I have to.
And Joy.
That's what we did.
Not only do I have to get through these questions, but I also have to do it in a character voice. So I have to call uh-huh. as a character yeah. with the questions. So they're going to make it extra hard for me. Now here's, yeah. I'm going to give you guys a rule. Ready? Don't look at my eyes.
What?
Don't look at
is that the character you're going to call
Don't
us?
Look at eye. Don't look at eye.
Oh my gosh.
No look at eye. If you look at my eyes, I will laugh. I can't do it. And then Luke is ridiculous.
Where are we supposed to he's
this, Luke is this jolly old man bouncing around in the sea with big old beard, and his face gets all red. He starts biting his hands. He's like, arr, arr, arr. You should see it.
We all got the same treatment.
Okay.
Everyone laughed. Everyone was ridiculous. And I just won.
And
I don't
Luke
know
cheated.
What to tell you.
All right. Well, let's listen real quick to a discussion going on. This is Pierce Morgan. And Ben Shapiro on Pierce Morgan's radio, his television program on CNN, talking about the gun control debate. That's what we're going to do right now. As Christians, this is a current issue, and good gracious, it matters. Listen, can I just start this by saying this? That the Second Amendment issue is not for Christians a Second Amendment American constitutional issue alone. It is a biblical issue. It is an issue of what God says are our God-given rights to self-defense and to own weapons to defend ourselves. That is in the scriptures, and we're going to do that today by way of listening to a debate between Dr. Greg Bonson and Dr. I think his name is Atwood. But I'm going to listen to a little bit of a current debate going on. Pierce Morgan with Ben Shapiro on CNN.
Silences America.
Okay, well, let's try that again.
Mr. Shapiro.
You know, honestly, Pierce, you've kind of been a bully on this issue because what you do, and I've seen it repeatedly on your show, I watch your show, and I've seen it repeatedly, what you tend to do is you tend to demonize people who differ from you politically by standing on the graves of the children of Sandy Hook, saying they don't seem to care enough about the dead kids. If they cared more about the dead kids, they would agree with you on policy. I think we can have a rational political conversation about balancing
Absolutely.
Rights and risks and rewards of all of these different policies. But I don't think that what we need to do is demonize people on the other side as being unfeeling about what happened in
Sandy
Hook.
How dare you accuse me of standing on the graves of the children that died there? How dare you?
I've seen you do it repeatedly, Pierce.
Like I say, how dare you?
Well, I mean, you can keep saying that, but you've done it repeatedly. What you do, and I've seen you do it on the program, is you keep saying to folks that if they disagree with you politically, then somehow this is a violation of what happened in Sandy Hook. And you have yet, I'd really like to hear your policy prescriptions for what we should do about guns. Because you say that you respect the Second Amendment, and you know, I brought this here for you so that you can read it. It's the Constitution. And I would really like for you to explain to me what you would do about guns that would have prevented what happened in Sandy Hook. If you want to do what you did in the UK, right, which is ban virtually all guns, that is at least a fair argument. And we can have a discussion about whether that's something that we ought to do
well,
or not.
Well, I made it very clear what I want to do, which is exactly what Mark Kelly wants to do. And in fact, rather than address
okay, so let's talk about that.
Rather than address your comments to me about standing on the graves of children at Sandy Hook, you can address them to Mark Kelly because he agrees with everything.
His next point's really important.
Because he feels
closely.
The same way
his next point.
As does his wife. They're gun owners. They both respect the Second Amendment of the Constitution. They don't want to take away anybody's right to defend themselves with guns.
They want to take away certain types of guns, obviously.
They want to take away assault weapons, which are capable with magazines like we saw at Aurora and Sandy Hook of unleashing a ridiculous amount of.
Well, this is a question I wanted to ask you, Pierce, because I've seen you talk about assault weapons a lot, and I've seen Mark Kelly talk about assault weapons. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of murders in this country that are committed with guns are not committed with assault weapons; they're committed with handguns. Okay, so, are you willing to ban handguns in this country across the country?
No, that's not what I'm asking for.
Why not?
Let me ask you.
Don't you care about the kids who are being killed in Chicago as much as the kids in Sandy Hook?
Yes, I do.
Then why don't you care about banning the handguns in Chicago?
We'll come to that. Let me ask you this.
By the way, listen to the clip online. They don't come to it.
Mm.
They don't come to it. Here's why. Because the issue of the person who holds to a worldview that you can somehow legislate your way into changing people's hearts or protecting people in some way, the view is inconsistent. If you ask the person, are you willing to be consistent with your premises? What's your premises? We should ban guns that are the highly efficient machines useful for causing the most death. And the person says that's what I want to do. I want to ban those machines. Well, then the question is are you going to ban handguns? Because what's causing the most deaths in America are not the AR-15s. It's not the quote unquote assault rifles.
Right.
It is in fact fists. It is in fact hammers. It is in fact knives and handguns. And so the question is, are you willing to be consistent with your premises? Listen, as Christians, we shouldn't want to live inconsistently in our thinking. It is an inconsistent argument. It's not logical. It's not Christian thinking to say we're going to ban this weapon arbitrarily over here when actually less deaths occur because of it than any other tool. And so you have to see that's not consistent. And by the way, the reason why Pierce Morgan can't answer it is because he's not willing to be consistent to his premises or with his premises.
I like Ben Shapiro.
He's a cool guy.
No, it was good.
He's consistent.
He came on to a very leftist television show and didn't pull any punches against Pierce Morgan. There's not very many people that have the intestinal fortitude to do that.
Yes, definitely. So we're going to talk about a debate discussion between Greg Bahnsen and Dr. Atwood, I believe his name was. And I want to say this. Here's what Bahnsen says, ultimately. It's his argument about curbing, quote-unquote, gun violence and all these different things. What he says, first and foremost, here's his argument. Number one, as Christians, we need to focus on gospel in the society. We need to focus on the change of hearts in society. We need to focus on people's hearts being transformed by the gospel, desiring to be peacemakers now because they're at peace with their creator. We need to be gospel focused. That's the big thing. How do we change society? How do we change people from being rapists and murderers and thieves and everything else? Only the gospel. You're not going to legislate your way into that, only through the gospel. But what he says is, number one, gospel. Number two, he says proper punishment. And he'll go into, and you'll hear it in a little bit, he'll go into the discussion in Scripture about God saying that the reason why evil people are now, they're now going to do more evil is because the sentence of justice is not executed speedily or appropriately. In other words, you need to actually use biblical forms of justice for those who commit these kinds of crimes. For example, you say, what do you mean by that? Well, I'll give you an example, just a perversion of justice. The Bible says that people who are rapists and convicted of rape should get the death penalty. How much does God value women? A lot more than our society does, because a girl can get raped in our society and the guy goes free in 6 months. Yeah, it's true. My girlfriend in high school was at her 16-year-old birthday party, and a friend of a friend came over and he took her into the bathroom and he raped her. On her floor, in her bathroom. He raped her. And he was caught that night, confirmed, rape kit, everything else. He was guilty. 6 months he spent in jail. That is not justice. It is not right. It is not good. And our problem in our society is that people can commit these crimes and they're let back out on the street again. Execute real justice, and you're going to help now in not causing people's hearts to be inflamed to do more crimes. The final thing is that Bahnsen's argument is number three, you need to get guns in the hands of people who are law-abiding so that they can protect themselves from the non-law-abiding. Listen, you are not going to cause a criminal to not get a gun and do something evil with it because you told him he's not allowed to have it. He will get it. He will get it.
Then if it's against the law, then it's the law-abiding people that seriously won't have it.
That's exactly
right. Because they follow
right.
the law.
That's right.
So that does make sense.
No, and Bahnsen's argument is from Scripture, and yes, you need to hear this, because if there are Christians who say, well, it's not that big of a deal, you need to hear Bahnsen's biblical argument. What he said here, he said that Exodus 22, verse 2, God gives us the righteous answer to a person, a thief breaking and entering in your home. God says that if you kill them when they do this in your home, obviously you can kill them with a weapon, that that is okay and righteous. If someone breaks in your home and they die, you're not condemned for that. Judges 15, the story of Samson killing many Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. Yes, to use a weapon in defense against an enemy attacker. Luke 11:21, when a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace, Jesus says. Jesus highlights a good thing about a strong man armed keeping his palace, his goods are in peace. Nehemiah 4, the builders of the wall armed themselves in Scripture. It was a righteous thing. Luke 22:36, Jesus told his disciples to buy a sword. Obviously, he had a spiritual application to this, but notice he gives the spiritual application on the back of the fact that he tells them that buying a weapon is a good thing. Listen, Christians will say, well, we're in the peaceable kingdom now. The peaceable kingdom advances through the proclamation of the gospel.
Right.
But as the kingdom of God in this world, we're still surrounded by people who have evil hearts and evil intentions. And yes, God calls you as a Christian to be able to defend yourself and defend your family. And he gives you the biblical righteous requirement for doing so. Listen, Bonson will say, and you'll get to hear him here in a minute. He will say, this is not a Second Amendment issue, a Second Amendment right. This is a God-given right.
Mm.
Listen, as a Christian, this isn't about standing for America. America! I'm American! This is about you being a Christian in a culture, regardless if it's America or South Africa. God tells you, you have the right to defend yourself. And by the way, also, I want to say this. The Second Amendment was put into place not just for self-defense, but for defense against tyranny. That was the point. We'll be right back on Apologia Radio after this short break.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
I'm dying in your bed. Many years from now, will you be welcome? Betray all of you from this day to that. For one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell others that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Welcome back. Good stuff, Luke.
Thanks.
Jeff Durbin, Luke Pearson, Joy Tenby, talking about the gun control debate. You know, I get the feeling that people are just thinking, again, you're American. You just want to defend American. That's what you are. And the truth is no, not at all. I honestly, I want to tell you my heart on this. I don't necessarily see America as the goal. It's the kingdom of God advancing in the world. But here's the thing. I believe that Christ is king, and I believe that his moral law counts. And I believe that we should be looking to God for what is good, true, beautiful, lovely, and moral.
Right.
And in his law, God's law, and Christ is king, don't forget, and everybody will bow to him. In God's law, God has defined for us what is righteous and allowable. And I don't think that we should be saying the state is our salvation, it's Messiah. And so with that, I'm going to let you listen in to an important segment of a debate between Dr. Atwood and Dr. Greg Bonson. This is Dr. Greg Bonson's portion of his rebuttal.
You can get corporate agreement among men, but if they disagree with the Word of God, they are still liars. Our ultimate standard is the Word of God. Dr. Atwood knows that in the sermon that I cited previously. He said, and I quote, "Our scriptures must lead us to God's peaceable kingdom. That must influence our dialogue." Absolutely. That's the way I feel about it as well. And the fact of the matter is, the scriptures present a different way of dealing with deterring violence among people in a society. In the first place, the scriptures require that the civil magistrate apply very stiff penal sanctions to those who violate the standards of justice that are found in God's word. As Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is emboldened in them to do evil." In Proverbs 29, we're told that the king gives stability to the land by justice, but in Proverbs 28, we're told that the wicked do not understand justice. When kings follow after justice, according to Proverbs 20, verse 8, they will disperse evil. And in Hebrews 2, verse 2, we're told that the justice of God's penal sanctions is irrevocable. Perfect justice is found in what God says you do in response to criminals. And the fact of the matter is, we don't do that in our country. We don't live up to the law's provision, God's law's provision for dealing with violent people in our country. It should not surprise us, therefore, that we have the kinds of problems that we do. The Bible says when we follow God's law that people will see and hear and fear to do such things. That doesn't mean you're going to get rid of all crime. The law's not, intended to do that. But if you want to, in some sense, turn back the rates and the ratio of violence in our country, then what we ought to be talking about here is not the state intruding into the rights of individuals, but the state doing what it is supposed to do according to God's word. Moreover, it's crucial for us, and this is the second point in terms of Dr. Atwood's call for us to look at the scriptures, it is crucial for us to understand that the state has to be delimited in the authority that it has to intrude into the lives of its people.
This next point is so critical. I need you to hang on tight and listen very, very, very closely, because many Christians today have a wrong view of Romans 13 about the government itself and Christian responsibility to submission to government. Of course we are, but listen closely to what Dr. Greg Bahnsen says about that in context.
If we do not have any restraint upon the state doing that, the state becomes a monster. Or as Revelation the 13th chapter says, a beast. It becomes a beast thinking it can intrude anywhere it wants based on its own thinking and upon its own law. If we are not going to have a lawless beast for our government, then we as Christians need to insist upon a biblical approach to the limitation of the state's intrusion into the lives of its people. The state has an authority that was delegated from God, according to Romans 13:1. And God forbids kings to swerve to the right or to the left from the path of his law, Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 to 20. Jesus clearly said that there are things which belong to God separate from the things that belong to Caesar. And so thus there is a distinction to be drawn by the Christian as to what the state may do and what it may not do. As Isaiah 10:1 says, woe to those who enact evil statutes. We're told in 1 Peter 2, verse 14, and I'd have you note specifically the telic infinitive there in the Greek, that God has ordained the state and the sword of the state specifically, to avenge evil against evildoers, to avenge God's wrath against evildoers. The thing that worries me so very much about Dr. Atwood's presentation is what I would call the threat of statism. In his sermon, he said, I believe that developing the political will to do something about gun violence is the greatest spiritual need before our church and nation today. If anything good is to happen, it must be a political solution. Safer streets and the well-being of our people will be enhanced by bringing it about politically. And that is especially what scares me. Not only has he violated the provisions of God's word for self-defense, that's not a right given in the Constitution, that's a right given by God.
Word.
But he also has the state, so we don't have the state doing what it should do, and we do have the state intruding in places it shouldn't go into. If we have a political solution to just any problem that may come about, I'm afraid that the state has become a messiah, a monster messiah, a huge, overgrown, bloated bureaucracy that does things God doesn't intend for it to do and doesn't do them very well. You want the state to help us with respect to handgun violence? This is the same organization that runs the post office, for crying out loud.
Nice.
Nice. There you go. Okay, so this is critical. Because people will say, they'll say, well, Jeff, you're supposed to obey your governing authorities. Amen, amen, amen.
Mm-hmm.
What is the responsibility, according to Scripture, of the governing authorities? To punish evildoers,
mm-hmm.
to enforce contracts, to establish justice and righteousness in the society, not to prohibit a person's natural God-given rights to protect themselves and to be able to have justice enacted. In other words, like when you look at the, say, the Bill of Rights, does everyone understand that the Bill of Rights, the basis of the Bill of Rights comes from scriptural ideas? The idea of self, natural right to self-defense, the idea to be able to practice religion as you please, the ability to not have unlawful search and seizure. to the ability to have a speedy trial of justice. These are biblical concepts. Okay, they don't come to you from the secular worldview. Atheism doesn't give you these things. These are biblical concepts. And so, again, what Bahnsen brings out there is that Dr. Atwood's stance is that this is a political solution.
That sounds like another backdoor.
It sure does. It sure does.
When Christians are saying there's God, and then there's this right. one other way for us to heal humanity.
Yes.
It's just another backdoor.
Political.
Another little thing that's being opened up that God chose to open up or yeah. whatever, but that just doesn't happen.
And he says this is a threat of statism. It's where the state becomes God. And he does rightly, by the way, rightly give a parallel to this discussion Atwood is having to the beast of Revelation. Notice that God refers to a state that is overblown and demanding its ultimate authority as a what? A beast.
Huh.
And when we allow the state to have these powers, it becomes a beast, a monstrosity. We'll be right back. ApologiaRadio.com.
Radio. We'll be right back.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
So again, a recap, Dr. Greg Bahnsen said a biblical perspective of dealing with the problem of violence in a society pertaining to guns is number one, gospel-centered approach. We want to focus on preaching the gospel, repentance and faith. Heart change is the ultimate change that you're looking for. Not legislating rules ahead of time, but punishing evildoers in a just way is his second argument. We should enact just statutes based on the biblical worldview that actually punish evildoers for what they do in a godly, righteous way. And the third thing is you don't take guns away from people who are the ones that are the law-abiding ones. Because guess what? Criminals don't obey law. Hey, isn't that a novel idea? Here's what we can do to curb gun violence. Let's make some laws about guns. I'm sorry, but people will walk into stores with guns and shoot people and hurt people. They don't obey laws.
Right.
So giving them another one doesn't make them all, dang it. I was going to bring a gun in until that law was on the books. Now I can't bring the gun in.
Well, and even if they did follow gun laws, they could still bring another instrument.
Another
in
tool. That's
to
right.
kill the person.
Yeah, I remember after Sandy Hook happened that there was an incident in China where a man walked into a school with a knife.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You see, it's the heart of man. It's not the weapon or the tool.
Right.
They'll find a weapon. If you outlaw knives, then you can say, okay, well, hand everyone sporks, and someone will find a way to put a spork in somebody.
Or
oh, yeah.
The jawbone of an ass.
That's right. That's right. So here's Bahnsen. I'm going to give you this real fast. This is Bahnsen talking to Atwood. Last question. It's genius.
Dr. Atwood, since you endorse state intrusion to regulate the conduct of citizens when that conduct might cause death, and you do this with fervency and, I believe, sincerity, wishing to see death stopped, do you, as an individual and a minister and a citizen, utterly opposed the alleged civil right to abortion?
We're going to talk on gun control or abortion.
We're going to talk about your premises. That's the question.
I'm not going to answer that question because that has nothing to do with the debate which you agreed.
What's this?
And I want to talk about gun control, and I really think that's a low-down, dirty question. I really do.
Do you have a minute response?
That is
okay. If that is
this
sure
is
enough.
My debate. Is that how I got boondoggled out of that?
You can use.
I really think.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Hold on before it gets out of control. I'm not
going to... There you go. So what was interesting there is, it goes on, you can get the debate at cmfnow.com, cmfnow.com. You could download it, listen to it. I highly recommend every Christian interested in a biblical answer to what's going on today in our culture and with even the government's very, very unconstitutional attempt at executive orders against what is a God-given right. I would encourage you to get a copy of this debate and listen to the biblical reasoning behind it. But what's interesting here is that Dr. Atwood is not willing to live consistently with his premises.
Right.
That's all Bonson was doing.
Right.
He was saying, if you think that we should legislate a civil right issue because of the resultant effect of death, then are you willing to live consistently with your premises? And that's, are you willing to violate a person's civil rights because of the ultimate thing of death? How do you feel about abortion? And Dr. Atwood didn't like that question.
No.
Didn't want to answer it.
Well, because it would have exposed the inconsistency.
Yes.
And so he responded with anger. And I'm assuming it was the mediator that was like, let's not let this get out of control. Like, that's the anger that was behind that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So
that's, I mean, that's definitely saying something.
I heard there's a video of this, and everyone said, you have to watch the video. And that part, they said it was amazing. He was furious, absolutely furious. And can I suggest something just on the whole abortion situation? If we're going to want to ban a certain tool that assaults children and causes many, 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 many deaths of our children, then can we talk about banning abortion tools?
Yeah, I was going to say, I know we're short on time, but when you played the earlier clip with Ben Shapiro and he's talking about him standing on the graves of the children from Sandy Hook and stuff, like, I got angry when I heard that because, you know, figuratively speaking, I mean, they can't even stand on the graves of the babies that are aborted because they're put in boxes and disposed of. There are no graves of those babies being killed.
Yeah.
And so it just angered me that they'll use that to you know, promote gun control, but they won't use the same consistency for abortion.
Yeah, let's be consistent with your premises, guys. You're worried about children who are murdered and slaughtered, the innocence of children taken away from them because of a tool or a weapon. Well, let me tell you, there are 1 million babies slaughtered in America a year via abortion. Yeah, it's real. Go to abortionno.org. Abortionno.org. Warning, very, very graphic video. You will see babies being dismembered at the hands of doctors with assault weapons. Let's talk about banning those if you want to be consistent. ApologiaRadio.com. Here we go. We're going to be right back with a prank call. Oh, yeah. Listen in.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. I don't care, guys. I'm good. I'll do it. I'm not scared. I'll do it. Okay, so here's the deal. A couple episodes back, I think it's when we had David Barton on, we did some prank calls to Christian bookstores, and the rule was you couldn't laugh or get hung up on. You had to read the most questions. And so Joy won.
Yep, I sure did.
Luke got second place, and I lost royally. So the punishment was, we told everyone, hey, put something on our page to let us know like what my punishment should be. Well, no one really participated except somebody said, Jeff should shave his head on the air.
No, beard.
Or his beard and his head,
and,
I think he
and
said.
And none of us here are okay with that.
Yeah,
so
no.
That
no.
Just
this is a much better punishment.
Down.
Yeah, okay. So the punishment is I got to call a Christian bookstore, and I have to read. I have not seen them. They're face down right now. And I cannot laugh. And I got to get through all of them, but I have to do it as a character. Joy just suggested during the break that I don't do it as a character.
Well, because it's easier. You can kind of like disassociate when you're a character.
Okay, I know. That's why I'm going to do it as a character.
I know,
now.
Exactly.
Thank
so
you.
Now you're going to, Jeff Durbin's not going to win. The character that you do is
well, that's
win.
Fine. Mortimer is my alter personality. I'm going to do Mortimer because it's easy for me not to lose it as Mortimer. I don't have to try as hard.
I can't, honestly, I want him to get through all 10.
I know. I kind of do too, yeah.
Okay,
I want
really
to be
do.
Red. Don't fall
Rich
over.
War, hello. Hello. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Let's get.
Okay. Yes.
Let's go.
Chris is calling right now. Hopefully this works. I really want him to get through all 10.
Oh boy.
Thank you for calling. How may I help you?
Hello. Hello, Arthur. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Mortimer. Hello?
Sorry, what?
My name is Mortimer, sweetheart. I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
Hi, what's your name again? But I got a granddaughter named She's a sweet girl. Sweet girl. I have some questions. I have some materials I got to get from your store. Can I ask you that?
Yes.
Okay. Here's a question for my granddaughter. It's a 1,000-piece puzzle of Noah and the animals doing handstands. You got a puzzle with Noah and the animals doing handstands?
I will have to check and
see. Okay, just got a couple more. Just let me know how you're doing there. I used to be in World War II, so I got a little problem here in my ear.
Okay.
You got a replica of Judas Iscariot's bow tie?
No, we don't.
It's a bow tie. It's more. I used to sing songs at W2 about songs about. Okay. It's a song. It's a book. It's a new book. I see the guys on the old television. There's a big guy. He's a big guy. He's a new book. Says Your Best Weave Now. It's co-authored by Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes.
It's a new one?
New book by Osteen and Jakes. It's Your Best Weave Now. Got that?
I don't believe we do.
Okay. All right, it's a board game. I'm not sure what kind of story you got going on there, what kind of trinkets and all that, but you got this book, and you also got the CDs, and you also got board games. You got them there, board games?
We do sell board games, yeah.
Okay, you got the board game. It's called Gain the World, Lose Your Soul, the board game.
That's one that I'll need to look up.
It's a board game for small children. Talks about gain the world, lose your soul. It's got some dice in it. Some little pieces.
Okay.
New song. Here you go. It's a book. It's a new book. I don't even know if it's out yet, but I want to ask you if you might have it. It's for my grandson. He's bringing it to the theological debates. He likes to do all the talking back and forth, the heated debates. I'm not in that too much. I like to sit at home with my goat. I have a pet goat. It is. So the name of the book is, it's by a famous, you know the guy, Ed Young Jr.? You know that guy?
No, I don't.
He's a famous guy. He looks like a Ken doll.
Okay.
He has these nice shiny teeth. He drove a vehicle onto the stage while he preached. And so the name of the book is called Pimpin' Ain't Easy. It's a reformed response to Ed Young Jr. You okay. Got that book?
I don't.
It's by the author J. Wayne Durbin. Good author. Got all kinds of good materials out.
Okay, sir, can you hang on one moment?
Hold on, I gotta go. Just two questions or so. It says, you got the, it's the cast it from you hand removal kit.
I'm sorry, what?
Sorry,
what was the last one?
It's called cast it from you. It's a hand removal kit.
It's a hand removal kit?
It's all in good fun. It's just about talking about something said before. How about this? I got something for you. It's called the Left-Handed Bible.
Don't think we have that one.
Oh, it's just reverse the other direction is all. It's more like Japanese.
Oh, that would be interesting.
It is. Oh, it said 10% medicine, 90%.
Who is this?
Oh, no! The last one I couldn't do. I couldn't do the last one. The last one. I could not get this out. All right, actually, there's three more. Okay, that's seven, though. That's good. All right, here's the ones I couldn't get to. 10% medicine, 90% Shazam, a guide to biblical medicine. 10%, is that right, med? Oh, 10% mind, 90%
mud,
10%. I couldn't read this. 10% mud, 90% Shazam, a guide to biblical medicine. What's this say? Oh, great. I would never have been able to do this one.
Save the best two
Luke, I can tell this is Luke's handwriting. It says, do you, from the Messianic section, yeah, Shlomo's crimp and curl for locks. Also from the Messianic section, frosted matzah flakes. That was awesome. Well, hey.
Oh, my goodness.
I did much better that time.
You did.
And that was, I did good. But yeah. Although I obviously technically lost again because she discovered me and found me out.
That's okay. Yep. You did a good job.
I did pretty good that time. That's seven.
I literally was laying under the desk.
Yeah, I know you were.
Covering
I just kept
my
seeing
face.
His feet. His feet were just like kicking.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Joy. Just so you guys know, my view as this is happening is Luke is under the table, literally with his feet flapping up and down. He's like a fish flopping around on the floor. And Joy is on the other side of the room. She's spinning herself around in her chair to the wall, like with her face in the wall. So that's what I got to look at while I go through this. So here we go.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Good and faithful servant.
Good job.
I wish I had my applause thing ready.
Yeah.
But I didn't. Oh, I don't know. What's happening?
I think that was
aliens.
Yeah, that was aliens in the background there. Wow. All right, so we're wrapping up the show right now. There you go. There's my punishment, calling a Christian bookstore as a character. And I got through 7 this time, so that's pretty darn good. And I think that's actually more than you got through last time.
It might be.
It might be, which means I'm actually in second place right now.
No.
So you're the loser.
No. That was your punishment. You lost the first time. This wasn't a competition.
All right. Okay, so here we go. Let's finish out with, hey, Chris, how much time do you have left
in
the segment,
my man? Didn't hang up on me either. She went to go look for something.
Okay, hey, Luke, you want to talk about a subject. There's a subject we want to deal with soon. It's a new bathroom law in Arizona about basically anybody can go into any old bathroom, essentially. People who claim to be the opposite sex can walk into a female bathroom now and claim that's their gender now. They're female, and they're able to walk into any bathroom. And it's unbelievable that the society is being destroyed from the inside because of an unbiblical view of life and people. We don't stand on the objective testimony of God's word. We lose everything. Luke, what's happening now? We got a few minutes left.
Excuse me. I saw this on Facebook today kind of floating around, and it's actually from the Christian Newswire is where it originated. And so this is kind of a really weird and bizarre thing that's going to be happening, and I'm actually going to replace some of the words with more appropriate words.
Yeah, in a way.
So anyways, the title is Pro-Abortion Group to Display Huge Photos of Female Genitalia at the University of Cincinnati. So it says Columbus, Ohio, March 6th, 2013, Christian Newswire. On March 7th through 8th, 2013, a display titled Re-Envisioning the Female Body will show 12 billboard-sized photographs of female lady bits at the University of Cincinnati. This event is in response to images of aborted fetuses brought to the campus recently. To kick off, this is true. I'm gonna try not to laugh because it's ridiculous. To kick off the display, Planned Parenthood will host a kickoff event panel discussion called "The Lady Bits Are Coming." Sorry, lady bits is the word.
We're not using the other word.
Yeah,
no.
Okay, sorry. This is true. It's funny, but absolutely astonishing.
So it's going to be huge pictures of women.
So,
in response to huge pictures of aborted
Well, I'm
fetus.
Assuming that it has something to do with probably the Center for Bioethical Reform, because they're known.
I'm sure,
we had Jason on. They're going to colleges and universities with the displays of dismembered and killed, murdered babies.
Yeah.
And so the response of the secular community is will somehow counteract the display of the murder of innocent children by showing raw, exposed, naked pictures of lady bits.
Yeah.
That's going to respond real well to dismembered children.
Yeah, okay. I'm having a hard time really understanding like what the message is.
Well, here's what...
like a pro woman thing?
Here's what the group's Facebook page says. The group of photos represents collaboration between a UC student photographer and 12 volunteer models from within and outside of the UC community. The images will be accompanied by posters sharing quotes from the models and from others about decisions that are made by us or taken from us concerning our bodies in areas of health care, queer sex, birth and abortion, and in stories of abuse and survival. So then it goes on to say, this is where it gets crazy, not to conflate woman and female. This is a trans-inclusive demonstration, and we recognize that not everyone who has lady bits is a female, and not everyone who is female has lady bits. Collectively, however, we all share this oppression over our genitalia.
Oh, my goodness.
It's kind of... It's weird.
It's horrifying.
I don't understand why you're showcasing... I understand why they're saying that whole not everyone who has lady bits is a sort of thing. But it's weird because I think that part of a woman is pretty much associated with women.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's also a part of their agenda. Mm-hmm. Why are they showcasing this part?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't they showcasing some sort of, like, gender neutral area of the body.
It's a false. By the way, it's also a false analogy,
right?
To say, okay, we had this organization come and show us dismembered human beings. And so in response to that, let's make an analogy to it. Let's now show pictures of women's lady bits, genitalia. Let's do that in response to this. Question, how does one relate to the other? It doesn't. One is the example of a dismembered human being, which, by the way, is not part of the woman's body. Not.
Right.
Biologically, not part of the woman's body. The woman doesn't add more to the baby as it develops, as it grows, and by way of making it more human or something. Yeah. It is a separate and distinct human being in her womb. And so there is no analogy between a chopped up, dismembered human being and a woman's lady bits.
Well, and I guess they said that the reason why they're using that image in the picture is because they're trying to show a picture of things that have been violated or rights have been violated.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the argument that your lady bits are violated when you're not allowed
to
put something like, you know, not to get graphic, but totally involves violating that part of your body. It's like a procedure that they do on that part of your body.
To get into something else to chop
you
it into
are
pieces.
That part of, I mean, that's,
and also,
graphic.
This is insane. God clearly makes male and female in his image. And our culture not only wants to display these graphic, nasty pictures that have no analogy to the babies being dismembered, but it also has to follow it up with, by the way, we're not saying that everyone that has one of these is actually one of these, or if you don't have one of these, that you're not one of these, and there's no distinction anymore between male and female. Let me just tell you right now, if you don't have lady bits, you're not a lady. No matter what you do to your genitalia, you can take it off.
Yeah.
And guess what? You are biologically distinct and a male for the rest of your life. You can dress like a lady, wear a wig. You can get a breast implants. And guess what? You're going to be a man for the rest of your life, biologically speaking. If I had a subpoena on your DNA, you'd be a male. Right back. Apologia Radio. Next week, Luke Pearson, Joy Temby, Jeff Durbin, ApologiaRadio.com.
Oh.